It's definitely good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight and to remember him, remember some of the thoughts that he will have for us tonight. Just want to share briefly that on one of my other escapades with helping some folks out, these folks were in their 90s. They're actually parents of some good friends of ours who are not believers. And when I was at their home, they asked me and they said, "We understand from our son-in-law and our daughter that you were on the mission field." And I thought, that's a good opportunity. And I said, yes, and I began to share a little bit. And then they told me that they had, again, been at another church in their younger days. And so I began to share with them, and through the course of sharing briefly, I quoted John 3:16, and she joined in with that verse in quoting it. And they hadn't been to church for a lot of years. And again, we're sort of disillusioned with it. We're still praying for these people, and we trust that that's where, as we see the day approaching, we need to be reminded that people are going to a lost eternity if they do not come to faith in Jesus Christ. There's if I can find it here. I guess I don't have it with me, but that's okay. Recently, in fact, it was March the 16th, if I can recall, there was an article that came to my attention, and it was called The Progressive Church. The Progressive Church. This church happened to be in Canada, in Regina, and they, of course, it was in the States, and Regina was another one. They had come to the conclusion that the Word of God was not inerrant. It was not for instruction. It was not the law in that sense of God. And in a sense, they said, I wish they had the article here now, but I had it this afternoon. I don't know where it went. But they said that it was impossible to keep up with the modern or cultural changes of our day. The Word of God couldn't keep up with that. Obviously, there was a joined response to that, to the degree that by far the majority would disagree with them. And I'm sure that came from the evangelical community. We are seeing today an apostasy, a turning away from, and it seems to be compounding. In other words, it's gathering momentum. Tonight, I want to talk about what is acceptable in the sight of God. It's only a way of reminding us. Obviously, there's a lot of things that are happening around us that are vexing us in a sense. Lot was vexed with the sin that he saw. And we shared briefly this morning, I was sharing with somebody that same thought. But acceptance is a reception of one's person or service. And we're going to look at this in the light of Scripture. And the first reference to Scripture is in Proverbs 21, the first three verses. And again, I want to quote the Word of God simply because God can do it better than I can. And we can maybe draw out of this some of these things. Proverbs 21, verse 3 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." The scriptures states it very clearly, doesn't it? Remember years ago when this verse came to our attention, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as a river of water, he so directs it whithersoever he will. We need to keep praying for those in authority over us, that God would direct the hearts. No matter what we think, God is still in control. His timetable doesn't change. You and I don't really know that timetable, and we might be able to influence, like many of the prophets of old and the saints. God listens to prayer. Every man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And we're seeing that more and more as the day approaches. But this is what we want to see, is that to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice as the Old Testament believers or the children of God did, but we still need to do justice and judgment. God is the judge. He is the perfect judge. And yet, we too need to do our just doings. Our just doings. The Lord's Prayer says, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." I'm sure that's not easy for some. More and more often you see road rage. You see all these kinds of things coming out. That God would keep us from it. Keep us from those temptations and trespasses by doing just things, just doings. The second one, God accepts our words and meditation. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Beginning at verse 7. And again, I'm going to read some verses here. Familiar portion of scripture to us. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, which are God's law, God's testimony, God's statutes, his commandments, his fear, the judgments, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Of course, this is David talking. But in the next verse, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." A verse of scripture says, "I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, O Jacob, you are not consumed." God's name, his nature, and his ways will never change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. God doesn't change. He loves us. He sent his son to redeem us. He is our strength and our redeemer. And so it is our meditation and the words of our mouth that are acceptable in his sight as they please him, as we come together as we did this morning and worshiped him through the spoken word and the meditations of our heart. Do we do it in the night season? I trust we do. On our beds or whatever, whether you're up late at night, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in his sight. They are and they can be when they please him. So it's just doings, doing right. It is our words and meditation. Number three is our dedication. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that all of you, or ye, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Presenting ourselves in dedication, I know that when I think back on when I was in Holland, when I was born in Holland, Mom and Dad took me to the church, and I went under infant baptism. I look at that as them dedicating me to the Lord, and we do that as well with our children. But dedicating our children to the Lord. But we need that process daily, don't we? Take up my cross, take up your cross and follow him. Is to dedicate ourselves, all of us. How do we worship him? Body, soul, and mind. Our complete being. We need to remind ourselves that it is a dedication. Our whole bodies, present our bodies a living sacrifice. Earlier we said that we don't sacrifice through animals as rituals or anything like that, but God does require a sacrifice. He wants to see us on the altar of praise for his glory and for his sake. The chief end of man is what? To glorify God and enjoy him forever, says the Heidelberg Catechism. Beseeching you, says Paul, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And it's just a reasonable service. It's just the only really thing that makes sense for us to do. So that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, years ago, before we went on the mission field, we were struggling. Kathy and I were struggling with where would the Lord want us to go? And we knew that we were called, but we wanted to be sure. But where were these things? You know, where should we be? What should we be looking at? And so we looked into three different missions, and God closed the door on two of them, and he opened the third. But it was Kathy's father at the time who handed us a little piece of paper, but wondering what the will of God was. And I'll never forget what the first phrase was: go quietly along the path of life that God is leading you. Go quietly along the path. If we place our faith and trust in him, he will open doors and close doors. Now, looking back, it's easy to see, but as young people, sometimes as we look ahead, we wonder, which way is the Lord leading us? I think parents are a part of the equation. We listen to our godly parents, even ungodly parents. We've had missionaries who would wonder what they should be doing. And they would ask their parents who were not believers. And God would use them to confirm the step in their life, and they would be led where God wanted them to go. Don't underestimate. And we'll come touch upon this in a moment. So we have our just doings. We have our words and our meditation. We have our dedication to the Lord. Number four, let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Beginning at verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now do you not walk charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow or pursue after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. In other words, for mutual upbuilding. We cannot, apart from Christ, we can't do anything. But with Christ, we can do all things. But Christ, when he left this world, he said, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. And so we serve Christ in the Holy Spirit. Apart from that, that's what pleases God. We just read that. Verse 17, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Righteousness, peace, and joy. I know that I've heard on several occasions now that masks, no masks, vaccine, anti-vaccine, or no vaccine, it's very divisive in the church, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Simply because that's really not where we need to place the emphasis. We need to place the emphasis on charity, on love. Paul was not put in prison. Paul and Silas, or any of them, were not incarcerated because of their stand on some of these things. They were put in prison because they were not allowed to preach the gospel. And so we need to remind ourselves, serving Christ in the Holy Spirit may sometimes take an avenue whereby we need to stop and think. Let not our meat, if someone thinks it's unclean, put on righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost and serve God in Christ through the Holy Ghost to be acceptable. Don't grieve your brother with your meat. So we have just doings, we have our words and meditation, we have our dedication, we have serving Christ in the Holy Spirit. Then we have another aspect of our walk with Christ is giving through ministry and practical means in Romans chapter 15, which is only the next chapter over. Beginning at verse 14, here he says again, as he did in the previous chapter, about, and I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that what? I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. So we can give through ministry and practical means. And many of you, if not all of you, are very familiar with that. Some have given your time and gone overseas. We've done some mission trips, as was mentioned. A delight to do that. But there's practical means. And God, we have been the recipients of practical gifts. And so giving through ministry and practical means is acceptable in the sight of God as done unto him. Remember that verse in the New Testament, which talks about I was in prison and you didn't visit me, and I was hungry, you didn't feed me, I was thirsty and you didn't give me to drink. And they said, yes, they think, when did we see you? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or in prison? And the other side, believers in Christ say, when did we see you, Lord? As long as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. And so we need to be reminded of that. I can remember years ago, I can remember the house we lived in. Mom, we were surprised, but Mom would accept a total stranger. He was down and out. To me, he was an older gentleman, but he was probably a lot younger than I was now. But she brought him in and sat him down for a meal. And you know, who knows? We might be entertaining angels unaware. But the example that we as parents can give, or as Opa and Oma, or Grandpa and Grandma, I think is very critical and is very timely, especially in the day and age that we live. So we have just doings. We have our words and meditation. We have our dedication. We have serving Christ in the Holy Spirit. We have giving through ministry and practical means. And here's the next one. Offerings and gifts. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Philippians 4:14. Notwithstanding, you've done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received from of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I was recently told that, and I trust this is of other ministries as well, that MSC hasn't missed a beat when it comes to the Lord's people giving to those on the field. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. The Lord's people remain faithful. And that's acceptable to God. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. The offerings and gifts that we give. It's not required of us. We don't have to, but in a sense, we have to because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of love and out of that desire to see others come to Christ, we multiply, in a sense, the loaves that we present to the Lord. So we have just doings. We have our words and meditation. We have our dedication, serving Christ in the Holy Spirit, giving through ministry and practical means, offerings and gifts. And here's number 7, intercession. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. A few verses there. First Timothy 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will show, or who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks for all men. And then it talks about kings and those in authority. We may not agree with the decisions they make, but let's not stop praying for them, because God's the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And as a river of water, he directs it whithersoever he will. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. He was brought down. You know, I have a feeling we're going to see him in heaven. Naaman. What about him? When I come into the house of Rimmon, he says, and have to bow before him because the king is leaning on me, he says, don't hold this against me. He was worshiping the king of heaven. The heart of the king. We need to pray. So intercession, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Let's go to number 8. 1 Timothy, again, chapter 5, just a few chapters further. Beginning at verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews or grandchildren, I suppose, let them learn first to share piety at home and to requite or to make some return to their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate or left all alone, trust in God and continue in supplications and prayer night and day. So children, it does say to respect and help their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God giveth. God does take some people home early, but, you know, there's other people that seem to get quite an age. And I remember Kathy and I were talking about it a while back, and every time we hear of somebody getting high up in age, we say, boy, they must have honored their parents. I mean, that's not a prerequisite, but it does in the scriptures. And, you know, we'll come to glory and we'll know for sure. You know, Paul was torn between two things. He'd rather to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, it's far better. You know, I'm a strait betwixt two. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a desire to be with the Lord. But he's got our days and times numbered, and they're in his hands. But helping parents, respecting parents or elders, and sometimes we see that being lost in our day and age. We have number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings or slander. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, and if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, which we shared this morning. And that's also in Psalm 43. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed or rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded, not be put to shame. Spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Well, that God would give us that discernment in how, as we offer up these spiritual sacrifices, as we read the scriptures to our children and to our family or yourself, as the prayer ascends, as we take on that aspect of being prophet, priest, and king, the priestly office before God. And we as fathers, and we have a privilege in that regard, that we can offer up these spiritual sacrifices. Anybody can do that. But sometimes it's incumbent upon us to do these things. So we have giving through ministry and practical means, through offerings and gifts, through intercession, spiritual sacrifices. And here is number 10, suffering for Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, or to the unjust. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering, and suffering wrongfully, for what glory or credit is it if, when you be buffeted or beaten for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But when, if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, and you should follow in his steps. Wow. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. I was watching a YouTube clip from, I don't know if many of you have heard of Amir Sarfati. He was an Israeli Messianic Jew. He lives in Galilee. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's a Bible teacher. And he showed a picture of a pastor in Seattle, or in Washington, the state of Washington, in Seattle. And he was on the side of the street, he was preaching, and literally these hooded people, young people, had him by the throat and were choking him to death. They literally could not stand hearing the word of God. Was he suffering for Christ? I believe he was. Count it all joy, the scripture says. Verse 21, even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow. Suffer for it, verse 20, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. We don't want to hear about this. May it come to that? Possibly. But the fact remains that where we place our faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can do to change his plan. It's set in place. And as this world becomes a place that's more difficult, 1963, prayer was taken out of the school. 1970, New York City, abortion was first started. 73, abortion was legislated. You know, it's interesting that 1970... when abortion started in New York, last year was 50 years from that time, and it is known that, this was April 12th, 1970, that last year in April, New York was hit the hardest in that same month. God's ways, we don't have to worry about, oh, what will God do? It's amazing what he's doing. How many of you know that there were some Dead Sea Scrolls, fragment scrolls found in Israel this past week, or at least on the 16th of March? I found it very interesting because God's timing is amazing. And he, through these things, is showing us that he is still on the throne. The reality that we are, as we believe in him, is such that he's a God who is so far above us. So far above us. And I just want to read this and read the verses that came out of this. Israeli archaeologists on Tuesday announced the discovery of dozens of Dead Sea Scroll fragments bearing the biblical text found in a desert cave and believed hidden during a Jewish revolt against Rome nearly 1,900 years ago. The fragments of parchment bear lines of Greek text from the book of Zechariah and Nahum and have been dated around the first century based on the writing style according to the Israeli Antiquity Authority. They are the first new scrolls found in archaeological excavations in the desert south of Jerusalem in 60 years. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Just listen to the words as we think about God who's still on the throne. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. And love no false oath, for all these things I hate, declares the Lord. Consider where we're, what the days we're living in, what we're hearing. Nahum chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. I am the Lord. That is my name. Therefore, O Jacob, you are not consumed already. His way, his name, his nature, and his ways do not change. What a God that we can trust. What a Savior we have. What a Redeemer. What a strength. What a fortress. What a rock. What a stone of foundation we can stand upon. We of all people have that hope in God. Through Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, just a reminder of things that are acceptable to you. And we know that we cannot do it in our own strength. And so we ask that you would continue through your Holy Spirit to minister, to sanctify us and to bless us so that we would become children of light in the darkness around us. Water for people who are thirsty, whether they realize it or not. Father, that we would live in revival as you would have us live, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds and on a daily basis. Father, thank you for that you are a God of mercy and your mercies are new every morning to us. And therefore, Father, we just pray that as we think of others, our friends, our family, our neighbors, Lord, that you would graciously reveal yourself to them. And if you're so pleased to use us, Lord, make us bold and available in Christ. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.